What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
And I cannot believe this is true. For the first time on the L&D airwaves is my friend, my sister, the chair and spokesperson for the Confederated Villages of Lijan, as well as co-founder and co-director of the Segurite Land Trust, Karina Gould. What's up, my friend?
Hey there, Kat. How are you? So good to be here.
I'm better. Yeah, I'm better now hearing your voice. It's been a minute. Yeah, Jesse kept saying we've never had her on. I was like, that cannot be true. But it is true. There's a lot I want to get into with you, Karina, and we don't have a ton of time. I do, however, want to start with the work, the Segurite Land Trust. You founded it how long ago? What is y'all's mission? What is your day-to-day?
Yeah, thank you for that. So the Segurite Land Trust is the first urban indigenous women-led land trust in the country. And we started in 2015, but the work started 30 years ago, really protecting and preserving the sacred sites of my ancestors along the bay here. When we took over a site in 2011 for 109 days in Vallejo, we really was looking at how we brought community together and how people really were needing a place to be on the land with each other and to remember who we were as human beings. And Janella LaRose and I started the land trust as a way of getting land back into indigenous hands. This the Bay Area, our tribe encompasses Alameda, Contra Costa, San Joaquin, parts of Napa and Solano along the waterways. And we became homeless in our own homeland. There was like two families that owned a home in all of that territory and no businesses, no places to pray. And we were trying to get these ancestors returned to us from UC Berkeley and all these other institutions, thousands and thousands of them. And how do we do that when there's no land? How do we reconnect other people to their responsibilities? And then there's a whole bunch of people that came here on relocation policies or other indigenous people that made this their home in the Bay Area and have no access to land. And how do we ensure they do? But then also there's all kinds of people in the Bay Area that came here and made it this their place and have no history of where they're at, where they've landed, where they call home, and their responsibilities and reciprocity to the lands and waters and airs that they call their home. And so the land trust was started because of that, but also because indigenous women have a responsibility that our responsibilities and our traditional roles were taken away when settler colonialism got to our territories and European men decided they weren't talking to women leaders. They would only talk to men, thereby taking away men's sacred responsibilities as well. And so it's about to bring balance into our territory again, where we all understand how we move forward in order to stop or to survive climate disaster.
Karina Gould, as long as I've known you, and it's been a minute now, you have been relentless in the fight, as you were just about to have land returned to the Ohlone people. You've also really uplifted, educated me and so many others about the sacredness of the Shell Mounds. I want you to talk about your recent historic victory in Berkeley, $27 million deal.
Oh, my God.
Look at that number. I was like, wait, what? That returns this site to you all. Tell us, let's celebrate this for a minute.
Oh, my God. Okay, Kat, and thank you so much. You know, ATPT has been a part of this struggle with us. It was 8 years of struggle.
So
people showing up, thousands of people. So this is not about just us. This is a national win. So many people, an international win. We've had people at the West Berkeley Shell Mound that's located at 1900 4th Street. It looks like a parking lot. It's the oldest burial site of my ancestors along the San Francisco Bay. And it was, the city of Berkeley marked it as a historic landmark 20 years ago. And so they knew it was there, but it was owned by a private land owner, right? And she wanted to build condos on it. And she wanted to put big box shopping there. And when we found out we started showing up to zoning board meetings and keeping them up until 2 a.m. And we started going to the Historic Preservation Committee and doing the same thing there. And we came up with a vision of what we could put there instead, a really a place that we could come together and learn about the history and resiliency of our people, reopen Strawberry Creek that comes along that land. But, you know, it was thousands of people that came and prayed together that had a Farce of July celebration there and did poetry and did music. And we had brought people together from all walks of life. Christians and Muslims and Jewish people prayed together. We had Hawaiian singers and Tibetan chanters and Marshallese dancers and folks from Korean drummers and Aztec dancers. We had everybody came together, and we understood the importance of our humanity in saving this place. But we found ourselves in court on along the side of the city of Berkeley because this person decided to use a new law that Scott Weiner created called SB 35 and changed up her development plan so that it would be 50% affordable housing. And what does that even mean? You know, yeah. I heard it was like $80,000 for a family of four. And at that time when we started, and I was like, wow, I was a single mom with three kids and never in my life, and still to this day, never made $80,000 a year. How is that even possible? Right. And so it wasn't about trying to fight against development of affordable housing, but about what is the reality of us and losing our humanity when we can't save one sacred site. And so, yes, at the end of it, we settled, you know, after going to court, we won in lower courts. We lost in appeals court. The entire place was surrounded by 6-foot fence with barbed wires. And we came together during COVID and stood 6 feet away from each other and held candles that encircled that entire 2.2 acres of land. And put prayers on us on the fence, and people continue to go there and offer prayers. And so this place has been a beacon in the Bay Area where we all understand that we could leave all of our other disagreements behind, but the West Berkeley Shellman is something that we agree upon. And so those ancestors carried us along the way, and they brought this beautiful amount of money that was never ours, that was for the Shellman. And we got this, we put out, I think it was on March 4th that we had received this large grant or this Shumi tax from a foundation. And then
from
on
Katali,
the 8th,
right?
We went into, yep, from Katali Foundation. And then we were told we needed to raise $5 million more before the 8th. And so those ancestors intervened again and were able to find that other money for us. Through the Schmidt Family Foundation, through a private donor, and we were able to come up with the money. Imagine having to pay $27 million to someone that is so greedy, Dana Ellsworth, that, you know, who has the right to own someone else's sacred site?
That's
you know, it's amazing to me, and I've been trying to come to grips with it over the last few weeks. And, you know, after going so hard on a campaign, it's having me sit down and to really reflect of all of the interconnections through all of the 30 years that we've been working together, of people coming together to do this work. And I'm overwhelmed with gratitude and I'm humbled by the blessings these ancestors have brought us.
Well, don't stress your brain trying to figure out what that woman was thinking. But legit, you're not going to be able to understand it. You're not built that way. Right, we're not built that way.
Right, right.
We're just not. Like, it's incomprehensible the way some of these folks think and move. Last year, I'm clocking time. There's so much more I want to get into. Last year, Movement Generation worked with you to return 43 acres of land. And as much as I hate to say it, the one good thing Libby Schaff did while in office was return 5 acres of land. You talked a little bit about it, but I want you to talk briefly, because I want to get to this next piece about the current momentum, the importance of land return, in terms of the walk, the building momentum around Indigenous sovereignty.
Yeah, we have been blessed. I think that we're in this time in the world where there's a consciousness raising. You know, there's particular times in the world that that happens, where people around the world all of a sudden get the same kind of idea and believe that this is the way forward. And Land Back is about that. And Segorite Land Trust is really trying to lead the way in the Bay Area for people, not just Ohlone people or Native people, but everyone that lives here to reengage with the land. And what that means for us, it builds our, you know, because, you know, Western science now says, oh, it's important for people to have their hands in the land. Where we knew that as Indigenous people across the world forever, that we were right. always doing that, that that was something that, and during COVID, it really showed people were calling all the time. They wanted to come and volunteer. And it really builds community. But it also puts us back. It centers us back in our own sacred landscapes, right? That the Bay Area, you look at almost all of my territory is urbanized. And so you look around, you can't tell that there was ever any Lashon people here. You know, that there's, and California is young. It's only a couple of hundred years old. So everything you see built here is really new. It's not like the East Coast, right? And so it's really important that we do this education together and to build these allyships with people across all kinds of lines that we create as human beings. And I'm losing my train of thought. Pure
cat. It's all good. It's all good. Here, I'm a segue us. Corinna, I'm still tugging at this thread, though, because I think back on almost 20 years ago, almost, when I first met you. You know, of course, the movements I'm aligned with stood with Indigenous people. No brainer for me. I think I've told you that as a child, like my organizing life started with Indigenous Black organizing, fighting the test site in Nevada, where my mother would get arrested, to demand that land back. APTP, you know, always in solidarity. But it wasn't that way everywhere, all the time. Now, there's barely a meeting I attend that doesn't begin with a land acknowledgement. Even my playwright cohort starts every engagement by reading the land acknowledgement on their website, and they pay the issue me tax, as do I, as does APTP. We're about to tell the people how they can do that, too. You talked about this raising of consciousness, but what else has changed? And what does this say about relentless organizing? Because you, my dear, are one of the most relentless organizers I've ever known in my life.
Well, thank you, Kat. I say the same for you. Always out there together at different things. And I think it's about, you know, building those connections and showing up for each other. And we start showing up for each other and we understand and we build trust together. And I think that this consciousness, besides this consciousness, what is it? I think that the world is at this time where we're in a lot of pain. And in a different kind of pain than we've been at before. We all, those of us that were able to survive, the pandemic, those of us that are now fighting in the streets for our brothers and sisters in Palestine, you know, that we understand that there's a difference. But also I think that there are people that are understanding that human beings made huge mistakes and that the only way to fix those mistakes is to go back in order to go forward. That we can actually change how we are in the world. And I think that we saw that clearly while we were all sitting down. We had a huge human sit time during COVID where we all had to sit down and pollution was cleared up and waterways became clearer and dolphins and whales came back and the coyotes took over the streets in San Francisco again. I mean, I think that we have to be able to see that we have had a huge impact on our earth and that it has not been a good one. And I think that that's what's happening, that people are looking for hope, that we have, that there is a different way of doing this and that we can do this together. And it's really about people coming together to educate each other. And it's about nonprofits, even like you said, you know, Movement Generation wanted some place to do their work, their good work that they're doing, they're providing in this world. But they decided to do it in a different way and to pair up with Segorite to buy this land and give us title deeds so that they can fulfill their promise to this world as we are doing our own. You know, when land comes back into Indigenous hands, when sovereignty is, it shows up in that way. then we know that that protection is not just for those Native people, but for everybody that lives on our territory now. And so I think that that's what it's building. It's building community in a different way. Land acknowledgments. I mean, you know, like you said, we wouldn't have heard of land acknowledgments, you know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago. You know, this is fairly new. Right. And now it's about building. You know, it's not just about saying words, but it's about building relationships with each other so that we know that when things happen in the world that we can count on each other and knowing that we don't have to do it alone. And that's a beautiful thing because so many times when we're doing community organizing, we feel like we're alone. But as we build these communities together, we know we're not alone. We know that we are on the same page trying to do the same kind of good work, maybe in different ways, but we're trying to get there together.
All right, Karina Gould, in our last sort of 60 seconds, 90 seconds, talk about the shimmy tax, why folks should pay, and most importantly, where they can go to pay.
Yeah, thank you so much. Shumi in our language means a gift, and we're offering you this gift as well as in return. It's a reciprocal relationship. Shumi allows people that live, work, and play in our territories to pay an honorary tax, an amount of money. You can go onto our website, SeguriteLandTrust.org. You can go to Shumi. You can pop in whether you're a renter or a homeowner, and it'll give you an estimate of what you might pay for the year. And people pay monthly, and they pay yearly. And, you know, it has been a great blessing in the Bay Area because we have done the work for the last 30 years. We are the ones that have been showing up. Our tribe and our people have been showing up for other organizations. It has grown and has been successful in doing this. Shumi pays for the land. It pays for the people that work the land. It pays for everything. And so please support the Segorite Land Trust and the work of Indigenous women's work and help us to grow that work for future generations.
All right, Karina Gould, I've got to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kat. See you soon.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.